It's the Rush Hour with MG and Liam Flanagan on Triple M. We are coasting into the weekend, MG. It's sniffing distance away.
All the trials are on this weekend, and most teams are at full capacity, and they're very strong, so I can't wait to watch the trials this week. I'm going out to Penrith on Saturday, more young blokes playing before the big game, so it'd be a good weekend of footy.
Absolutely right. Footy is well and truly back. The proper season is almost upon us. We have had some fantastic guests in studio so far this year.
We've had some amazing ones.
We've had Jason Saab, Joey Arrow. We had Woodsy early on in the week.
Yeah, Wednesday, Woodsy.
This is a first for us, though.
Yes.
A thespian.
A thespian and a fanatic or shark supporter.
And a diehard Sharky supporter. Fanatical. And a man who's quite good with the spoken word,
yes.
MG, which might make you feel a bit insecure.
And he got very angry. He's a very angry man at the moment, too.
Fired up. It is an absolute pleasure to welcome in one of Australia's finest actors, writer, actor, producer. He does it all. Brendan Cow.
Yeah.
G'day, Brendan.
Hey, guys. Great to be here. Thank you for having me in.
Well, we know you're a fanatical Sharkies, man. You have been for a long, long time. Did you, before we get into why you're in the studio, what made you go for the Sharkies?
Well, I grew up there in Cronulla, and I was playing, you know, you get thrown a football at age of 3 or 4, and so I was playing in the under-6s at 4 years old, and then, you know, and you have blokes like Adam Ritson and Adam Dykes, and, you know, when I somehow made a rep team, I think in the under-12s, Eddinghausen would coach the rep team and come in and do the talk. So, you know, and your girlfriend, your sister's dating one of the players, all that kind of stuff.
Jonathan Docking or something.
Jonathan Docking. You know, you just, Shark Park was mecca.
Oh, yeah.
That was everything. And so I kind of, you know, and then after under 12s, I was firmly planted in the B's. You know, never the C's, never the A's, just right there, starting side with the B's. And then
what
I kind
of. Were you forward or back?
I was 5'8" actually, and then I went to fullback because I tackled around the legs. I was a bit of a lawnmower like Michael Speechley, you know what I mean?
One of the best of all time.
You know, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. So yes. I was quite good with the tackling, but then I swapped the kind of physical pain of rugby league to the emotional pain of the arts guys got really big, and
you kicked ass there.
Yeah, I've done all right recently. You know, it took a while, but it's going nice. Yeah.
Well, we're going to get to what you've been up to because you have been up to some fantastic, amazing things. But you have come in hot because
I'm hot.
Because it's fair to say MG has been, as we've been working our way through the non-final teams, as you've been predicting him, MG has been copping a fair bit of flak. Aaron Woods, I was impressed, MG, that you said to Aaron Woods straight to his face, I don't think you're making finals this year.
Yeah, I think he was very reserved with his opinion.
Yeah.
And I thought he held his nerve well.
Yeah, but Brendan, you have come in.
Oh, he's a different.
You've come in armed to the teeth with words.
Yes.
To rebut Mr. Guy and his prediction for your Sharkies.
The pen is far mightier than the sword, as
and
we
the
all know. But you know, it really got under my skin. I love your guys' show. You got me through 5 months of lockdown last year, so I feel like you're part of my life. You guys don't know that, of course, that I'm sitting there nude in London, listen to you every morning. But yeah, when you come up with 13th, I thought you better not. And it just hurt deep. And I thought, what better way to deal with pain than to write it out? So here I am with a poem for Mark.
Floor is yours, Mr. Cow.
It's called The Sharks of September. It was about a week ago when the wave rolled in, and like all new tsunamis, horror shook the scene. The day Mark Geyer gripped the mic and said that the Sharks would come 13th. Octopuses exploded, coral changed colour, mud crabs shimmered in the dark. How did this land panther MG not know that you never underestimate a shark? As the number one fan next to our intrepid PM, whom I only ever saw at the game after he got the top job, nice branding, Scotty, you down-to-earth guy, here are 10 reasons why the mighty Sharks will make the 8, which even MG at his most active will surely not deny. Marky boy, my M4 baby, you say we're out of form. Well, check your iCal, son. 'Twas only 5 years ago that we did what the weary Clearys could not and took the trophy from the Storm. Number two, a shark is never wrong. So I say, haters, may you halt. Sharks lure in the murky riot waters. Even peptides are not our fault. Number three, Northies.
Oh, yeah.
Number four, to say our premiership window has closed is madness utter crap. If I was a betting man, I'd say you'd have better luck catching the Viking clap. Number five, you still hate the Sharks, then Paul Gallen will happily fight you on Main Event for $500,000 cash. Number six, what other club's team song has a piano solo? Number seven, if you don't believe we'll make the eight, then ask the PM and he will delegate to a state minister. Number eight, Wade Graham, Josh Dugan, Sean Johnson, Matt Moylan. None of these blokes get injured. We just hold them back to keep you on your toes. Number nine, if you still doubt our lethal attack, have a Google. Climb out of the dark at least once a day across our nation. Someone is eaten by a shark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so good.
Fat kids, tourists, middle-aged servers, we don't care. We'll take the 2 points anywhere. Number 10. That's right, I'm nearly there.
It's for 20.
2021 is the year of the shark. In the waters of NRL, no one is safe. So have a second look at things, MG, and stop selling us out as flake. Cronulla Sharks, I'm proud to be a member. Cronulla Sharks, going to go deep in September.
Outstanding.
Adieu, Sir Fonz, adieu.
Oh, my goodness. I mean.
That was awesome.
So many highlights for me.
I take it back. I take it back.
How much did you pay Brendan Cowell to get MG active into his poem?
Mate, I'm flabbergasted.
Do I get a free pack of Zumba glasses or something for that?
Well done. Well done,
clearly, sir. I've got too much time on my hands.
I was about to say you've been busy, haven't you? But no.
Are we still in 13th, MG?
No, you make the eight.
Oh, do we?
Yeah, you make the eight.
Poetry will always win.
3 years in a row.
That is incredible. If only we could find a Panther supporter as eloquent, MG.
That's me. I speak for the West, and you know how many times I stuff up on this show.
I believe we've got a montage or two.
Yes.
That is outstanding. That'll be all over our socials. You'll be able to enjoy that.
Yep.
Brendan, we need to talk about some of your other fantastic work, though.
Absolutely.
You've been a busy man for the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
Where have you been?
Look, I moved to London about 5 years ago. I just thought, you know, I was a bit restless and I thought I'd have a crack and see how I went. And, you know, if the worst thing happened, I'd come back with my tail between my legs. But I did a bit of theatre over there that kind of got me noticed and ended up in Game of Thrones. And then the last couple of years, I've been in New Zealand shooting the Avatar sequels.
Oh, wow.
Just a little New Zealand independent film that they're making over there.
How awesome.
So that's just been, you know, an absolute, you know, expansive experience in terms of filmmaking, working with James Cameron. And
How'd you get the gig?
Well, yeah, I ended up playing Galileo, the scientist, in a play at the Young Vic, and Chemical Brothers did the soundtrack. Joe Wright, the filmmaker, directed it. And it was a really wild production of an old play, and the casting director just came and the next thing I was on a plane to LA for like a 3-day audition with Jim
Cameron.
You know, no pressure.
Wow.
it was hard because I had to learn about 25 pages of dialogue, but I couldn't take the script with me. So you go in this room with a guard watching you and your phone in a locker. And I'm trying to get this, the lines in your head.
No way.
And then go down to the set with six cameras and the live action actors. Hopefully, you know, but it's really hard to learn dialogue when you're stressed.
So you wouldn't
you're just trying to inject it into your brain. And you're like, so I just went down there and somehow managed to pull it off. And so the last couple of years I've been with him and a lot of New Zealand crew, and they're a wonderful family, all the Avatar guys, and they've all been working with each other for 20 years. And so it's
3-day audition. That's special to be able to memorize 25 pages of dialogue.
Yeah.
And then the pressure cooker of the cameras and James Cameron watching from some room.
Yeah.
Man.
But after a while you forget, because he's a lovely bloke and he's just like a kid. He wants to play.
Okay.
And then he's just like he's just a director going, let's do this, let's do this. And then every now and then you turn around and go, holy shit, that's the guy that did Titanic and Terminator, Aliens,
you know what I mean?
But yeah, exactly. He's been on the bottom of the ocean. So, you know, in the last 2 years I've become friends with him and he's the best guy. And, God, he pushes you, you know, like I imagine people in sport do the best. Mm. They take you to that next level. And so, you know, it's demanding, but it's been a real thrill.
He's the Wayne Bennett of the movie world.
He is. I'll let him know that.
Craig Bellamy. Maybe Craig Bellamy.
And he loves
Craig
Australia. He loves Australians.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And our attitude to kind of getting in there and getting it done, you know.
Well, he's got Sam in. Sam was in.
Yeah, exactly.
So he must love the Aussies.
Yeah, he really
actually, that would have been your opportunity to kind of muscle in on Russell's attempt to colonise LA for the Bunnies. You could have handed Jim a Sharky's hat.
Well, yeah, I approached the Sharks and I said, look, if you do FBOS, I'll buy contactless over 25 years of instalments, 1 week at a time. I'll buy a part of the league's club. But I didn't hear back. Fair enough.
But other than that, you've also got a book out.
Yes.
So did this all happen in isolation? Did you write the book in isolation? How did the book?
Yeah. Well, London. Last year, I went back to kind of because Avatar was meant to go in April. I went back in March to pack up my house into storage and come out to Australia and New Zealand for the year. But of course, you know that whole the panny D, the pandemic grabbed us, and the next thing I know, I had 5 months in the basement flat. Went a bit mad. Listened to you guys a lot, and I thought, well, you know, I've got this book in my head, and I thought, well, here's a chance. Everything's on pause, so I just went for it, and it came out pretty well. And so HarperCollins are releasing it in October. It's called Plum. It's about an ex-football player, Cronulla Shark, deep in September Sharks, and it's about a bloke. You know, he's had 1,000 head knocks, and then after his football life, he discovers he's got a few issues there with his mental well-being. And he's got a decision whether to kind of, you know, treat his body and his mind well, or, and that could, you know, go bad. And then he discovers a passion for poetry. So, which kind of saves him a bit. So it's kind of about, you know, that second part, of your life after sport, and whether you kind of, you know, hit the piss and gamble and give up, or you kind of make something of it, you know what I mean? And that means changing and being emotional and communicating and all that kind of stuff. So, it's dealing with all those issues that I think are quite pertinent.
You're going to hit a lot. It's going to hit home for a lot of ex-footy players.
Well, it's in the spotlight. You know, it's why we changed the concussion rules. It's why HIA is now such a massive part of our game, because once when it was like a you know, a big tick next to your name if you went back on the field with a head knock, now you're a buffet. Now with all the technology and knowledge we've got of how bad these things are, there's no way in the world you'd even have a second thought about going back on the field if you got a head knock. But back in my game, back in my day, you'd say they'd say to you, the coach would come to you at half time, and you'd feel about 10 other players looking at you.
Yeah.
Waiting for what your answer would be when you'd say, you're right to go back on. You go, yep, I'm right. But you wouldn't know where you were.
Yeah, exactly.
You wouldn't know where you were.
So that's the idea of kind of being a heroic male, which is that kind of stuff. And now I'm kind of pushing the idea that maybe being a heroic male is putting your hand up, going, I need some help.
Big time.
You know what I mean? And maybe that's courage now.
That's more courage than anything.
So it kind of plays with that idea what masculinity
excellent.
Is.
Excellent.
The conversation has changed, absolutely. So that book comes out in October?
Comes out, October in all good bookstores and probably a couple of shit ones, I don't know.
Probably grand final week for the Sharks and Panthers.
That's it. Yeah. So, a couple of signed copies coming your way.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Hey, now, you're a diehard footy fan. You love your Sharkies. I want to get your thoughts on some current issues in the game.
Absolutely.
Off-field indiscretions?
Yeah, I'm wholly supportive of them.
Yep.
I mean, let's face it, that rugby league is half the joy of watching what happens in the green rectangle, and the other half is the home and away soap opera that happens week by week. Where you go.
Drama sells. Good. Drama sells.
But, you know. Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? And I don't know if we've got our own police officer now. Is that right?
Well, no, you're not allowed to have him.
We're trying to have him.
You're not allowed to have Mick Fuller, the New South Wales Police Commissioner, because they said it will be a conflict of interest, knowing that there will be some incidents coming down the pipeline. So,
well, I always thought a gated community could be good, where everybody and there's cameras, and you know, we
reality
get to
TV
watch,
show,
and people, and they don't know. Which I guess was kind of what was happening in COVID in a way.
The Truman Show did that, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine the rugby league version of the Truman Show. I think there's something in it. Hosted by Peter Volandis, Bo Ryan, whatever.
Andrew Abdo.
Right, okay. Off-field
I mean, try and stop off-field incidents. No, you're not going to be able to, you know. And the thing is that we build these blokes up to be warriors.
Yes.
20 years old. They're huge machines. And then we go, when the whistle blows at the end, can you go home and have a herbal tea and chill out? And it's like, we want them to be that, but then we want them to be that. So maybe there's a bit of education, a little bit of allowance into what we've created for entertainment.
It's like the old Frankenstein theory.
Exactly. You know what I mean? And I get it with acting, and I'm wearing a pair of tights. You know what I mean? Like, I come off stage and I'm like, Invis, like, you know, you can do anything. And I haven't even run into a Polynesian male, you know. So,
what about, we ask this of all our guests at the moment, Cam Smith, where is he this year?
Cam Smith's, he's an octopus. Yeah. I don't know if he's human. Is he human?
No.
Even his name suggests maybe he's not human.
No.
Cameron Smith, is that an actual name?
No.
Look, where is he? Oh, look, they sell, he's very good, isn't he? Because we're all, everyone's like, we're not talking about him, but we're talking about him. I've heard he's at the Sharks. That's what I've heard. I've heard he's coming off the bench as an impact player for the Sharks. That's the news that I've got in. Aaron Woods just texted me. Yeah. You know, it's all confirmed.
So you got the Bellamy Smith duo.
We've got Bellamy Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Which just guarantees and premierships.
Yeah, they're both living out of Northies, and it's going to be a great next 5 years.
Tarrant Point Road is going to be never the same.
All right. Well, the Sharkies get to the grand final then this year.
Absolutely.
Who's on the other side of the field?
Well, playing the Titans. I think Sharks, Titans.
Good man.
Absolutely.
Brendan can stay. Yeah. Brendan can stay. I like this.
Sharks,
this
is, Titans.
Yep.
We'll be playing each other either first, second, or 15, 16. I'm not sure. So it's either, I don't know, flip the table. Yep. We're going to be there.
Yeah.
I tell you, we will be at the extreme.
Yeah.
End of
one or the other.
Beginning. Yeah. I can.
Who's going to be coached by the end of the year? John Morris or Shane Flanagan?
Well, I reckon Flano will come back. You know, he's the reason why we have something in that
in the cabinet.
So, you know, as you guys have said quite eloquently, you can't blame John Morris. He's done a great job with what he's had, and he's been strangled, I think, with the salary cap. But he's just the way he had the forwards in 2016.
Oh, they revved up.
The way Pryor was just, you know, Ennis.
Yes,
we just had vendettas against others. We used to win with defense, you know, smashing teams, and Flanagan seems to get blokes up and crazy, you know, and I want a bit of that.
It's a good way to put it. I think you're right.
Well,
We haven't had that steal since he was around.
He turned Matty Pryor into a State of Origin player.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which, you know, for the most part, but people, it wasn't on the cards for him prior to his career, pardon the pun. Hey, all
and
right.
Then Jack Bird can come down the highway as well.
Yeah. Jack.
I love that.
Come home, Jack.
What a player.
There's a next poem about Jack Bird. That's a really poetic name.
It is. That's Jack, a good, yeah. Jack, okay. Jack, next time I'm in, I'll have a Jack Bird poem. It'll be called Birdie Fly Home, I think. Don't hit the road, Jack. Or hit the road.
Hit the road back home, Jack.
Jack.
We'll let you work out the title.
Yeah, okay, okay.
I know you love your Sharks. Mm. I'm not asking you to replace any player, but I'm giving you license to pull one player from around the competition that you'd love to see.
Even though I've got Cameron Smith.
Yeah. Cameron Smith aside.
Who would I grab from another team?
Yeah, playing now.
Who's playing now?
Mm.
Oh, look, geez, that's a really fascinating question.
I feel like Cam Munster might fit in well in the Shire.
Oh, isn't he unbelievable? Oh, he's an exciting.
Talk about Northies.
He's an exciting.
The bloody job.
That's it. He wouldn't be playing long, you know. Especially if him and Corey Norman hits level two. Look, I love that Lomax.
Oh,
Zach Lomax and the Dragons.
I would have loved. I wish he was playing Origin because we didn't have an actual centre playing Origin.
This year with
the New South Wales team, let's put some guys where they play every week. And I reckon Lomax at centre, he's an exciting machine. And that's what we need now that Bronson, Jabby is out of there. So, Zach Lomax at centre, please.
Okay, there you go.
I love that the Sharkies fan just finding an opportunity to needle the Dragons as well.
Oh, always. Yeah. Well, they're kind of doing that to themselves this year. We don't even need to. Just lay off and watch. You know what I mean?
You mentioned him in your poem. Have you ever met the man, ScoMo? Have much to do with him?
Yeah, I have. Like, you know, when I get the late call up for the corporate gigs, which is clearly when, you know, somebody pulled out late in the day. I've got up on stage with ScoMo. He had no idea who I was. And because he said, you know, I love the theatre of rugby league. I'm like, well, I've never seen you at the theatre. Feel free to come down. And, you know, I've been going to Shark Park since I was four.
Yeah.
It's a second home. Never saw him there.
Not when you were little.
Until only recently.
He's from Bondi.
Well, exactly.
He's from Bondi.
Yeah, he's. That's,
exactly.
He's, I don't know.
Would he know who Jonathan Docking, Gavin Miller, David Hatch is?
Big Carney on the wing.
Would he know the year we won the AMCO Cup at the Wednesday night competition?
Was it 73? No.
No idea.
No.
But the point is, Scott 87? Morrison doesn't know either.
Was it 87?
Against the Illawarra? I don't know.
I think so. Steelers, yeah. Yeah. Rod Wishart's team.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
All right. Well, before you go, and Brendan Cowie, we have loved having you on the show. I've got one more.
Anytime you need another poem.
Yep.
Poets Corner, available.
We are going to need a review of the Avatar. That's what we come next in when it's out in cinemas.
That's it. Christmas 22.
Yep. Mm. Awesome. Yeah. That's all right. I
know you're an actor, and so it's all about the craft. But we will sell Poets Corner to a commercial sponsor and make some coin off that when we can. Top three sharks.
Of all time.
In your time.
Gavin Miller.
Yep.
David Peachy.
Oh, yeah.
Peach.
Ben Barber.
Wow.
He won us the comp.
Wow.
Let's face it.
I was surprised
I said it too. But I just remember him scoring and me weeping, you know.
He scored a lot of tries that year.
That try where Paul Gallen kind of threw Chad Townsend out of the way.
At halfback, he went.
He said, "We don't need a halfback." And then Barber went up and scored. I was weeping in my living room in London, 8 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Awesome. The greatest day of my life.
Outstanding. Brendan Cowie, we appreciate your time. We will have you back in to talk about that book when it is closer to its release in October, the movies, all the rest of it. Thank you as always.
Pleasure.
Great poem.